Hey, it's so good to see you here. I'm excited. I love Sundays. Sundays are the best days of the week because I get to spend time with you guys and see your faces, and I love that. And before I get started here, I just want to thank Pastor Rob, Pastor Becca, Pastor Anthony. Thank you for your leadership in our lives. It's an honor. I can say this. I wouldn't be stepping into the calling that God had for my life if it wasn't for our leaders. And I know I'm not the only one here that can say that. So can we show our appreciation to the leaders in our lives? Thank you so much. We love you guys. Hey, home team weekend, we were talking on the subject, taste and see, and it's coming out of this verse. In Psalm 34:8, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." And I'm gonna speak on the taste part of this scripture, and I'm excited about that because when I think of the word taste, I think of the word food, and I love food. When I think of taste and food, I think of one word or two words, and that's the state fair. Who's excited for the state fair to be back this summer? It's going to be amazing. I'm so thankful it's after our wedding because I am trying to shed for the wed and look good for the wedding. But when that is done, I am jumping into the state fair, and I'm going to eat everything that I can eat because when I'm at the state fair, that is what I am trying to do. I don't get the small things. I get the bucket of cheese curds. I want the bucket of fries. I want everything on the stick. And you know you have to end the night with the bucket of Sweet Martha cookies that you have to eat like 6,000 of them to get down to where you can put the top over the bucket. And you know when you get the top over the bucket, it's a good day. You're walking around. It's like a badge of honor. And it's incredible. It's incredible. It's crazy to think that while we're at the state fair, we know that we're eating about 99% of the food that we know isn't healthy for us, consuming all these calories, but it doesn't even cross our mind when we're there because we just love the great get-together so much. And when I was thinking about how I act at the state fair, I was thinking about what my life looked like before I knew Jesus. You see, I was growing up trying to chase after the hopes of being a future athlete. I wanted to pursue the NHL. I had a void of an unhealthy family growing up, and what I realized is I was trying to fill myself up by these things. Well, I had a serious sport injury that took me out of the game, and I didn't really see an end in sight to a healthy family. So I started just tasting after the things of this world, and I'll say this. It brought me to places I never thought I would go. I did things I never thought I would do. And what I didn't realize, I was becoming really unhealthy. The alcohol abuse, the drug abuse, the unhealthy relationships, it was just this endless cycle. Maybe there are some of you here today where you can understand that a little bit. You're trying to fill yourself up from the world. It's this constant cycle of that where you just keep going back to it, keep going back to it. It keeps bringing you back for more, and you realize there has to be more than this. And I'll say this, when it comes to tasting after the things of this earth, there isn't more. There isn't more. For me, I ended up finding the end of myself by chasing after the things of this earth, this world. On August 21st of 2011, I was in a pretty dark place, and I just didn't want to live anymore. I wanted to be done. And I remember being in the basement of my parents' home, just so sickened of this world and what it had to offer. For 13 years of my life, I was trying to find myself, but I didn't realize that I was completely losing myself. But you see, this is where Jesus came into the picture. No matter how the short time I was in and out of church, what I realized is God didn't stop pursuing me, that God wanted to know me. It wasn't about what I did yesterday, what I did months ago, what I did years ago. God said, no, I have a plan for you, Tyler, and it's for you to know me. And maybe that's some of you here in this place today. You can sit here and say, I don't know if I know God. I'm wrapped up in the things that I'm doing. I don't know if there's a plan for my life, or I'm here to tell you God loves you. He's for you. He has a plan for your life. And at the end of this service, you're going to get an amazing opportunity to give your life to Jesus. God doesn't want you to be blindsided, be misled, misguided of the things of this world. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be tough circumstances that come in. But God created us to be filled by him, not by the things of this earth. He created you for that. He created you to know him. And today we get to see a man by the name of David. We read Psalm 34:8 today. That is something that he wrote in a time where I want to give you a little context of where he was at when he wrote it. You see, David was he was going to be king. He was appointed to be king, but at this point, he was yet to be king. And he was actually running from a king by the name of Saul. Saul wanted to kill him. Saul wanted him off this earth. And David did what I think a lot of us here today would have done. We would have ran. We would have fled. We would have went somewhere else. And that's exactly what he did. He ended up finding himself a cave to hide out in alone by himself. Maybe some of you are thinking here today, man, let's be a rough day for David. Wouldn't want to be in his shoes. And as true as that is, I want to ask this question, though. Have you found yourself in those cave moments before? Circumstances were tough. Things were hectic. You found yourself in a place where you needed to get alone. David did something that I really respect in his character in this moment of time. Though everything was stacked up against him, this is what David responded. Psalm 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." See, what David did in this moment, instead of getting caught up in what the world was doing, he's like, I need to get away and I need to praise God. He's inviting us to taste and see how good God is. What David is inviting us into here is the fact that the word of God is the only thing that can satisfy us. It's the only thing. Jesus said this in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus talking about how he is the word of God. And we know that because in John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." God ended up sending his Son to come down to be flesh and become the Word for us to see. You see that with a relationship with Jesus, we get to see God our Father and know him. Jesus didn't work independently away from God. Jesus worked completely dependent on God. He didn't work independently from God. He worked completely dependent on God. When we fill ourselves up with the word of God, what we're doing is that we have the insurance that we know we are in the presence of God our Father. And as we're pursuing our relationship with Jesus through the word of God, what it's doing, it's allowing us to taste the goodness of who God is, not of what this world has to offer. God brings us exactly what we need. He knows us so well, so he knows how to fill us. But it doesn't just end there. When we see that the Lord is good, when we taste and see that the Lord is good, we see how sweet the word of God is. Psalm 119:103, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." What is so amazing about this chapter in the Bible, it is the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses long. And do you want to know why? Because the author who wrote this chapter wrote it in this repetitive meditation on the word of God. This author was talking about how sweet and how good the word of God is in their heart, so they put it in their heart. You see, church, when we are going after the word of God, when we're reading his word and our relationship with Jesus, we discover how good and how sweet God is, how pleasing and desirable his word is, that as we continue to love him, as we continue to obey him and follow Jesus, his word will continue to allow us to experience more of him and his will. The more we taste the sweetness of God, the more we realize that the world has nothing to offer. But with that, we get even a deeper desire into diving after the things of God. And isn't that good today, that we get to dive into the deeper things of God through the word of Jesus? It's amazing. But it doesn't just stop where tasting the goodness of God. This verse talks about we taste and see that the Lord is good. And I'm just looking out right now, and I'm just even encouraged because I see people out in this church here where I've just seen how good God's been. Hallelujah. Right, Justin? Good. Marty? Ken and Cammy? God's been incredible. I've seen you guys run after the things of God and seeing the word of God in each one of you. It's been incredible. I get the honor of every Wednesday to see the youth students of this church running after the things of God and not of this earth. And it's an absolute honor and a pleasure. And I'm so excited to see what God is going to do through our next generation, a generation that's going to run after and taste after the things of God. I'm going to invite Pastor Carter up to the stage, and I just want to say this. Pastor Carter, thank you for investing in the kids at this church. It is an honor to see them come up to the youth group, and I get to share in that with you. It's incredible. So thank you, Pastor Carter. It's an honor.
Hey, thanks, Pastor Tyler. Yeah. Great word, man. And I love that Pastor Tyler is our youth pastor here. I actually have 5 of my own children are in youth group. And so I'm just grateful for what you and the leaders there are doing in the next generation, actually in my household. So thank you. Before I came up here, my wife leaned over to me and she goes, "Don't mess this up." And I was like, "Okay, honey." I legitimately have friends that still cannot delineate between which of my child. Okay, is that who is that? And that's fine. There's a lot of them, you know. And so I just want to describe them to you. So first is my son Joey. He's about my height. He's got brown hair, brown eyes. His hair is a little bit too long. It's approaching hippie stage. And so he just whips it. Anyway, okay, that's gonna take a while. How about if I just show you a picture so you can see my family instead of me trying to describe them? So let's see a picture of our happy family. Aw, isn't that funny? We have one too with the hands on the shoulder. How many of you guys have a family photo that you have hands on shoulders? Sorry, Gen Z, this is something we did in the 90s. We won't ever do this again. But going this way, Rosie is the youngest, Ellie, Maddie, Joey is 17, myself, Paula, Charlie, Danny, and Ruby. There will be a quiz later on. But hey, here's the deal. It's easy to show somebody a picture so you can see. And I feel like King David was doing the same thing in Psalms chapter 34. At the beginning of Psalms chapter 34, he says, I want to read it from the Bible. Is that okay with you if I read it from here? It says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." That's from the New King James. Here's the thing. When we exalt the Lord together, there's unity in that. And I imagine King David was looking at this situation, and he was trying to explain how he was rescued from a dire situation. And he goes, "You just need to taste and see that the Lord is good. You just need to see it." And that's how I feel like he was feeling in Psalms 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, you got to understand the situation a little bit better. Pastor Tyler was explaining to us, but I want to read that exact situation from 1 Samuel chapter 21. You see, he was fleeing, and he was in a dire situation. And in verse 10, it says that David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, "Isn't this David, the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands." That right there, the legend of King David is already moving throughout the land. And David doesn't realize it. David doesn't realize that he's actually already seen as a man of God. And he becomes afraid. Verse 12, it says, David took those words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So he did what every person should do when you get in a tough situation. He pretended to be insane. in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. Don't you love the Bible? Here's a side note. Hey, get into the Bible because there's more of these stories in there. All right. Here's the thing. Achish said to his servants, look, is he insane? I don't need another madman around here. And what happened was God used that sequence of events to rescue David. And then later, if you look in your Bible or if you have your digital one, if you look at the beginning of Psalms, it says, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech. Okay, let's explain who Abimelech is. Abimelech is another name for a Philistine king. So like if you have Egypt has a pharaoh, but then they have their own king. Achish and Abimelech, same person, right? And so David, before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Here's the thing. David writes that psalm. He begins, I will bless the Lord at all times. And he goes on to say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he who trusts in him. I have a question for you today. What psalm are you writing? I go to work, I come home, I watch Netflix, and I go out on the weekend. I should have really prayed with my coworker today, but that's weird. I'm not going to do that. I should really start a new venture, but I'm afraid it won't work out. Is that how your psalms look? Here's the thing. What psalm are you writing? I want to challenge you today to start seeing what God is doing. When we talk about seeing, we're not talking about eyesight. We're talking about discerning what God is doing in your life. Start seeing what God is doing in you. Oh, come on now. Oh, this is good. Okay, all right. You ever talk to somebody old and you go, what was it like back in the whatever, 40s, 50s? And they just look at you and they go, and they get that little smirk on there. Do you know what they're doing? They are processing everything that they've seen God do, and they just can't put words to it. You see, your own confirmation bias, what is confirmation bias? We got to get a definition. The tendency to interpret new evidence as confirmation of one's existing beliefs or theories. Here's how confirmation bias plays out in my life. I have a theory, a belief, that my children take off their socks and throw them everywhere. It's like they're spreading roses at a wedding. So I walk in the house and I go, there are socks everywhere. That's a confirmation bias. All I see is the sock on the floor, and may it happen once, twice, 300 times, but all I see is that. Here's the thing. You may have gone through things, and now you have a confirmation bias written that, the Lord's not going to rescue me in that. Oh, I'm never going to get out of that situation. Realign your confirmation bias with God's word. Taste his word. See that it is good. Start seeing what God is doing. Get around people who are seeing the things of God. And you get yourself in a place of worship, and you will begin to see what God is seeing. You see, a couple years ago, I was in Thailand, and we were in this residential neighborhood, and they had one of those huts on the stilts, and you know, you could see through the walls and the thatch roof and all of it. In pride, I looked at his house, and I go, I have enough money to solve all of that guy's problems. In pride. A couple days later, I was running around Lake Harriet. Yes, I do run occasionally. It's at a slow pace, a saunter, if you will. And I'm running around Lake Harriet, and I look up at this huge house, and I go, wow, that guy's got all the money to solve all of my problems. Wow. You see, comparison is not what God sees. You want to compare it to your situation. You want to compare yours. Well, I got it way better than they do. Oh, man, my situation is not as good as theirs. Comparison is not what God sees. Stop comparing yourself. Compare. Don't even compare. Just do what the Word of God says. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, there's this really cool part. where Samuel is at a place called Ebenezer. And about 20 years before that, the Israelites had lost the battle to the Philistines in 1 Samuel 4. Eli's sons died, 30,000 men were lost. And you fast forward 20 years later, and Samuel is there, and he builds an altar because he wants to remember what God has done. And he builds an altar and he says, "Thus far, God has been with us." Now, in this place today, there are people where you can legitimately say, God has been with us. And those of you who are a little younger, I want you to just acknowledge one thing with me for a second, because I'm going to acknowledge it, but I want you to hear this as well. When you're young, just like David was young in this story, he still saw what God was doing in his life. And even though you haven't been following the Lord for 20 years, you're not even 20 years, whatever it may be, you need to begin to see what the Lord is doing even right now. I remember, this is a good one. I remember when I had a wisdom tooth pulled when I was about, 24, 25 years old. And Paul and I, at the time, we had two kids, probably three on the way. I can't remember. It's all a blur. We've made it this far, honey. But we were so broke. We were so broke. I had to go and get a wisdom tooth pulled, and we didn't have enough money for a dental surgeon. So I went over to this place over in Edina, and they go, "Well, he's not really a surgeon in America, but he was in India, so it'll be all right." And so I go, and they go, "It's $50 to get anesthesia or nitrous or whatever." And Paul and I looked at each other, and she's like, so the guy's on top of the chair, he's pulling, Paula can hear me. Why do I tell that story? Because there was a time when $50, we couldn't afford $50 for nitrous, for a dentist appointment. And then just this past week, my son Joey, 17, he got all four of his teeth out, and guess what? He got all the narcotics he needed for that. The Lord has been with us thus far. I want to challenge you, even right now, take out your phone or piece of paper, whatever it may be. Open up a note or a list or a reminder. I need you to make two lists. One is this. What do you need to experience with God? That's the first list. What do you need to experience with God? Maybe it is joining a small group or a serve team or going on a virtual global team or going on a real global team. Maybe it's something along those lines. But you need to experience something with the Lord. I want you to start and make that list. You know what? We'll even give you the day off of work tomorrow, okay, to do this. The second one is this. What do you need to see or have seen God do? Make this a list of remembering what God has done or what you need to see him do. Now, here's the thing. We've covered a lot of ground today. Pastor Tyler, you did an amazing job. Starting out in Psalms 34, going to Psalms 119, eventually to the Gospel of John. And when we look at this one verse, taste and see that the Lord is good. We got to jump ahead 14 more generations to see another man say, "Come and see." And that man was Jesus. He said, "Come and see." And today, as the person who is holding the microphone, I want to be like I want you to be like Zacchaeus, who was desperate to climb up a tree so that he could see Jesus. All I am is the guy with the ladder saying, hey, here's the ladder, there's the tree, get up there so you can see Jesus. We all need to see Jesus move in our lives. And all I am is the guy with the ladder. That's all I am. And as a church, I need all of you who have been living for the Lord for years to become masters of telling the story of the goodness of God. Just like David, become a master of testifying. Become a master of boasting that the Lord is good. Because there's an entire generation, and there might even be people here today who have never given their lives to Jesus. Climb up the tree. See what Jesus is doing. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, those of you who have not accepted Jesus, your heart is pumping, the Holy Spirit's talking to you, and your life is about to change. But I need you to see something before you do that. So, I'm going to do something irregular here. Everybody, please keep your eyes closed, except for those who have never accepted Jesus. I want you to open your eyes. Those of you who need to come back to Jesus, I want you to open your eyes. Okay, everybody across this place, you've never accepted Jesus. Somebody brought you here today. This is all new to you. In fact, it might even be a little weird. Whatever it may be, I want you to open your eyes and just look around. And here's what I need you to see. Those of you in this place who have accepted Jesus before, you've been living for him for a long time, I want you to just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Those of you who have never accepted Jesus, I need you to see all of these people living for Jesus. They have done what you're about to do. They have been living the life that God has called them to. They're learning how to tell the stories of Christ. And I need you to see that they are doing what you are about to do. You may put your hands down. Now I need to ask you, if you've never accepted Jesus, and even if you need to come back to Jesus today, I want you to raise your hand because we want to pray with you. We don't want to embarrass you. We don't want you to be embarrassed in any way, but yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. I'm not hurrying out of here. If you need to come back to Jesus today, you need to make things right with him. We want to pray with you. I want you to see what Jesus is doing. And you can't because you're not living for him. You can't because you've got sin in your life and you need to get it out. If you need to come back to Jesus today, anybody else? Guess what? It's all worth it for one person to come to know Jesus, isn't it? Let's pray together. Let's pray together. So everybody across this place, let's pray together. Say this with me. Say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I repent of my sins. Thank you for dying for me. Please come into my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I will live for you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.